This is the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District monthly security meeting, July 1st, 10 a.m. So we're calling the meeting to order. And first is public comments. Amelia, do you have any hands or chats or anything?
No hands, no chats.
Perfect. Thank you. Number three, security monthly updates. I believe this will be Tina.
Yes, she is here, and I'll bring it up.
Good morning, everyone. My memo is here, but we'll go over it. So we're currently, we had a meeting with ABA Protection last week. We provided a tour of the district to the new contract security provider, which is them. They began their training today. So we have a supervisor and two officers currently training at the gates. And then in 2 weeks, they will be switching over to patrol, and then we'll have another two gate officers or security officers to be trained in the gates as well. They will be present for the 4th of July event this weekend. We're going to have six officers from ABA Protection, since we usually have contract security at our 4th of July event. Recruitment for the security supervisor, that is still ongoing. We'll discuss that later on. That's agenda item number two. So I'll talk more about that. Summer events planning, extra staffing. The sheriff's department is still on hire back on Fridays and Saturdays until further notice in the evening. They continue to do the district calls for service, and they provide patrol services to us as well as checks in the area. I have a report on that I'll show you later on as well. 4th of July event, you will see in this packet, we've finalized the incident action plan to have a formal written plan of the district's responsibilities and duties for the day. Main objectives are to protect district property, access control, traffic control, compliance reporting, and basically observe and report.
Tina. I'm looking at the incident action plan. I like it. I think it grabs everything that we need to grab from that standpoint. I had a question on it yesterday, but I think you might have addressed it from your draft. All right. Let me ask you this. Do you have a feel if we would get any day of or the day before hirebacks sign up for out here? Any feeling on that?
Nothing yet. I'll reach out to the off-duty program. They email me in regards to what we have. So I was going to reach out to her, the coordinator today, in regards to that. Typically what happened last time a couple years ago is we only had a couple people sign up from the sheriff's department. But then at the last minute, there were all the positions were filled. So that was just a couple days beforehand. So, but I'll check with her today just to see if there's any other update, because the sheriff's department right now is really, really short staffed. So they are having problems with getting any higher back spots for all the different contracts that they have throughout the county.
Right. But
they're having a rough time just getting people signed up for other higher back duties as well.
All right, very good.
I'll check with her. And you'll notice on that incident action plan, when we look at it, all staff are working overlapping shifts. And then we have the sheriff's department and ABA Protection, like I said. In regards to patrol and non-covered shifts, we had about 50 hours total due to contract security being unavailable and other staff emergencies, people calling in sick, family emergencies, things like that. And like I said, today is the first day our new contract security began. So Northgate, Olaf from Watchdog Security replaced three intercom cameras and two new LPRs and that's license plate readers were installed to cover the sidewalk and bike lane. That project is now complete. So we have the cameras covering those areas. He also installed a new 24 port switch to speed up the camera processing and reduce lag time, which is helpful as well. We requested a PO for PoE extenders for the cameras and internet. A&D Gates is still on scheduled to repair the Lago gate. It was supposed to be, it's scheduled for this week, basically. And then the far resident lane sensor was adjusted as well by A&D gate. So that should help with barcode reading and things like that. South gate update. Olaf completed the installation of the new camera power system with new electrical lines and feed cables. A&D attempted to install the new gate arm that we need. However, there was a part that's on order. They actually received a different part for it. So we're still waiting for that. In regards to Rancher RMA activity, we're still working with them, having meetings, going to the RMA compliance meetings as well. We do our regular general non-ARC enforcement, stop sign enforcement, speed enforcement as we can. Cameras at the lakes, it's still the same. The camera installation has been approved by RMA. So we're still waiting for Olaf and Watchdog Security to update us on what's going on next. I believe they're still awaiting the power and internet to the lake area. So the project is still in process over there. They actually have a bunch of cameras that are going to be installed in RMA area. So they're going through the list and working on those. 4th of July fireworks and parade. We have requested 6 total sheriff's department deputies to come in. So far, we only have 2. We have 6 contract security that will be here. And then we have people doubled up for Sunday's event, including me. I'll be there too. So I'll be working during the day and be in the incident command along with Rick on that day. Myriad of village activity. We've been doing our regular patrol activity and same with the Commercial Owners Association. We did notify the businesses of the 4th of July event in regards to increased traffic and customer activity at Bel Air and the Country Store. So everybody obviously is well aware of the event and what it's going to bring in. Next, we have the SAC Sheriff off-duty hire back report here. They work June 4th, 5th, 11th, 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. So we actually had most of the shifts covered this month. We had a new deputy come in. So we have deputies Hulk, who normally works it, and then Green Hulk. He's really good. He emails me at the beginning and the end of the shift to let me know what has been going on and what he's done. So, and then Deputy Hulk, he just fills out the report that we have, which is great. So they worked a total of 42 hours. I don't have the total costs because they send out the billing on the 5th of the month. So that comes in later. There were only a total of 4 calls for service that they responded to. There were no traffic stops and no arrests. 3 of those calls for service were inside the RMA and 1 was at Starbucks for somebody that was possible DUI, but turned out that person was not driving under the influence. And we requested that they do regular patrol checks, obviously respond to calls, but also focus on the lake areas, which they did. So next up, we have our informational bulletin in regards to the water incident last week. I issued this bulletin last week, and on Monday morning, I did get one call from a resident who said that he was at Clementia Lake at the swim beach, and there was a vehicle that could have been a Ford, and it was gray, that was doing donuts in the area. So there are cameras over there at the bathrooms, but when we went to review them, only 2 of the cameras were working. So of course we review the cameras and no vehicle on there spinning donuts in the area. And then we did receive one other call a couple days later from another resident who stated they were wondering if maybe it was a Mercedes because they had just seen a Mercedes drive into the area with major front end damage. Sergeant Tompkins had already seen that vehicle as well, but it's not going to be the one. So basically what happened on this incident is when we got out there, the water department recovered some vehicle parts, which is from a Ford Fusion. So on the vehicle parts, they're just front bumper area parts. So on the back side of it, it showed it was the right hand side, and then it showed Ford. So what Sergeant Tompkins did was he called Ford, and Ford verified it came from a 2013 to a 2016 Ford Fusion. It's called a silver color, but the color of it actually is a very dark gray. And it does have some metal flake in it. So they call it silver, but it's a dark silver, dark gray. So the Mercedes didn't match that description, basically. We did get a list from ABDI for all of the vehicles registered in Rancho Murrieta, and it did include all the ones that were moved, sold, things like that. So there were a total of about 42,000 vehicles on the Excel spreadsheet that we had to go through. So we actually narrowed it down to 79 Ford Fusions in the community. And that narrowing is just the year range in regards to that. So that's total of vehicles for 2013 to 2016. It doesn't show vehicle colors. That's not what is in ABDI. So we've been going house to house to look for these vehicles, and everybody's very cooperative and talking to us and showing us, no, my car's silver, my car's white, things like that. The gates are questioning every tow truck that comes into the community for the type of vehicle that they've responded to, that they are responding to, just in case a vehicle needs to be towed out for damage or anything like that. Our gate officer, Karen, also called all the tow companies and verified that the day of and the day after, there was only one tow truck that came into the community, and it was for a Mercedes that was having trouble getting started. There were no other tow trucks that came in. We're also calling every body shop in the area to see if a Fusion has come in or if there's anything for front end damage on that type of vehicle. Our patrol guys are spreading the information to the residents in search of knowledge about any Fusions with damage that may previously have had no damage. Interestingly enough, on when we reviewed video for the access utility access road, we did find one vehicle that entered and exited the area the day before, and that was around 8 o'clock, and then it left after 9 p.m. And that was a Ford Ranger that had a boat in the back of it. And it's gray in color, the exact gray that matches that Ford. However, that's not the vehicle. But we're still following up with that person. We did talk to the owner of the vehicle, who said that he was just out there fishing, but two people came up to him and asked for assistance with their vehicle, and they went back to the area of where the fire hydrant was. So we're still investigating that, because there are some other factors that come into play, which are interesting. I'm not going to go over that right now, though, because we want to figure out what's going on. We also have some help from local law enforcement assisting us as well. We did file an online report with the Sheriff's Department in regards to this incident, since it was a hit and run, because CHP and the Sheriff's Department did not take a report otherwise. So we're still waiting for the online report number to be issued, a regular report number from the Sheriff's Department. That takes about 7 to 10 days after they receive the online report, because they actually have to review the report and then issue the report number for that. So we're doing everything we can. We just got another list from ABDI as well in regards to all resident entries as well as guest entries in the gates from June 17th through the 24th. And we have some, the Ford Fusions narrowed down on there, so we can review video at those dates and times and see if there's any gray Ford Fusion that has come into the community, because it may very well be an outside vehicle that came in and decided that they, you know, wanted to go to the back lakes It could be a guest of someone else. So we're looking at every option that we can find with that. Any questions?
Tina, excellent job on that. I think given the background is spot on. I do understand because it is an ongoing that the information is limited. So when the time's appropriate, we'll move that information outward as well. At this point, Tina, I'm going to stop you for a second because I'm sure people will want to say something or have questions. And again, I think we'll limit the questions to what can be answered at this point in time. But Amelia, do you have any hands or questions?
I do. I have some chats that have been coming in throughout her entire presentation. Some of them are not related to this incident. Do you want to just hear them all right now, Tim, and then we can...
Yeah, and then I'll decide where they fall. Go ahead.
Okay. Beth, I don't know what your last name is. If you wouldn't mind providing that for the record, I would greatly appreciate it. She said she's very upset this morning, called security at 6:23 a.m. to report a chainsaw being used. By 6:45, when I called back to see why security hadn't arrived, I was told that they hadn't come on duty yet. This is not acceptable.
I'll take that one, Amelia. I understand her frustration, whether she deems it acceptable or not. We'll let that lie. We will follow up with her on that particular one offline. Staff will. So we're good. Continue on, please.
Next is Crystal Matters.
Said there's no packet for today's meeting available online. Can you update it online, please? And I sent her the link. Richard Gere said the packet is available. Oh, thank you. It's usually on the splash page, which it is on the splash page too. And Crystal, if you want to give me a call, I'll totally show you where it's at on the splash page. Crystal continued, Tina, there were 50 hours unmanned shifts, all patrol shifts, she wonders, and were they evening, day, or both? Which I think that's later on in the packet, is it, Tina?
Yes, Crystal, that's answered later in the packet on the incidents of note. I actually have every date listed and the hours. Some are like 2 hours, some are 8 hours. It is all patrol, and it is different hours of the day and night.
Beth says, regarding the Ford Fusion, could it be hidden out in the back wooded area?
We've already checked. We haven't been able to locate it.
Ms. Crystal Matter says, excellent work by all in security figuring out what kind of car and for all the investigation following. And thank you, Beth, for your last name. Crystal says, thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. We appreciate your support of us. I really appreciate that. We're doing everything we can. We're treating it as a big, serious investigation because it really is with our water being compromised. It's absolutely unacceptable. So,
Tina, go ahead, please, with your report. Thank you.
Okay. And next up. So here we have the incident action plan here. It is several pages long. The final version of the plan is out there, and it also includes the route for the 4th of July event as well as the exit route, but that will be available in the gate in the North Gatehouse on 4th of July when we start at 7 a.m. We're gonna have RMA staff stopping by. If anybody from the country club does, the GM, Rod Hart over from RMA. So we'll be working with everybody on this. This is a cooperative effort. Basically, the North Gate is where any command operations are gonna be when we start at 0700 hours. And right after that, we have several events during that day, which includes the Kiwanis Club Pancake Breakfast at 7 a.m. to 9:30 at Stonehouse Park, the 40th annual 5K Fun Run, the parade of vehicles. So with that, there is going to be a traffic diversion and traffic control along North Marietta Parkway. RMA staff and CSD patrol officers will provide the traffic control along the parade footprint. So basically what happens is the parade comes south on Marietta Parkway, but regular traffic will be on the northbound lanes, but it will be split in two, so to alleviate any accidents or anything like that. But that's something that happens every year. So, but it's in this in the packet here. Then we have music at the gazebo that starts 1900 to 2100 hours. ABA protection is going to be utilized for this area. And then the fireworks show will actually be 2100 hours, but it looks like it will actually start at 2130 hours for the actual fireworks show. But we're going to be there obviously still for access and crowd control, because there is going to be fencing along the sidewalk and A-frame signs to divert pedestrian traffic. Because we cannot have anybody cross the fence line, otherwise the fire marshal will shut down the fireworks show instantly. And that is per RMA, as to what has happened in previous years. And then the after show exit, the exit route will be via the Escuela Gate and the North Gate. So we're gonna have the Sheriff's Department, ABA Protection, and CSD staff out there assisting in the community with this. And we have a personnel roster. Our ABA protection, the officers are to be announced on that day as to whoever they provide us with. Any questions on that?
I'm good. I reviewed my incident okay. action plan, so thank you.
Any questions?
I have, okay, so Beth says, thank you for your comment, Beth. I heard one speculation on the damaged car. Could someone try to exit the community during the 4th of July mass exit? Will there be any coverage to see vehicles leave?
Yes, we're all being diligent and paying attention to all of this. But yes, we will. We will make sure that we're watching for that type of thing. Okay, next.
Oh, that's me.
All right, next we have the violation summary report. For the month of June, our numbers are up a little bit from the previous month. We only had 32 written violations. This month for June, we had 34 violations. A lot of it was due to lack of coverage and basically just being busy within the district and not having contract security to assist us, because they would actually write violations as well. All right, and then we have the gate entries within the community. It is actually down from the previous month. Our total entries to both gates were 16,189. And if you look, the prior month total was 18,000. Not sure why that is. Don't have an explanation for that one. All right. And gate entries denied. We have a total of 52, which is the same as last month. So we're still on target with the denying residents in and out, or denying guests or vendors. And again, our lake and park access is down a little bit in regards to that. But there's still a lot of people that want to come into the lakes and rivers. All right, next one is our case breakdown by type. We have a total of 253 calls, but again, that does include the refused entry. So it's a little bit less than that, about 200 calls. And last, we have the incidents of note here for June 1st through the 30th. On June 4th, we had an RMA violation. And I put this on here for a reason, for people to get out there in the community. So basically at Clementia Park, again, we have some juveniles out there on a golf cart who entered the area after hours. And I know there was discussion about this in the previous meeting this morning in regards to closing off the parks. The kids were advised to leave, but they refused, used profanity at the officer, told them you can't do anything, you're just security. Luckily, the sheriff's department was on duty and he came over and responded. The subjects left the area, but they still refused to identify themselves. one of our gate officers though was able to ID the subjects and a violation was issued in regards to this. But this is typically what we get. And it's not just from juveniles we get this from, we get it from adults too. I've seen it in reading the logs every month when we approach people who are either kayaking or just out there in their vehicle after hours or fishing, is they just have no regard for security and they flat out tell us to our face, you can't do anything, leave me alone, things like that. So I just want to bring that to everybody's attention. That's really inappropriate and unacceptable. So
Tina, if I may, I know we have the two policies in place, body camera, and then the overall system cameras and how we use them. I really think as we move forward and we're getting closer, we just have so many other tasks on our table right now, or desk, I should say. Ideally, where I'd like to be able to go, and you and I have spoken about this, is those video recordings are in fact shared with the resident and/or the parents of the residents. I think it's going to be one of those, because we are going to have, and you've put it out before, pictures to assist us in identifying people. And I think as we move forward with the cameras, we're going to have video, and we just have to really make sure our process is in place so that when we do post, we need assistance. It's a very powerful tool. And I think that's going to be probably our next step, working with RMA and their cameras and just how that process. And I feel much more comfortable with the work you've done on redoing the one policy and just initiating the new one. But to your point, that always has been lately, I think probably the last 5-8 years, that's been a huge trend out here that we've seen, especially with the juveniles, more so parents, residents, those that are asses are always going to be asses. I just think we need to formalize our process and just sharing that information back with them to demonstrate really what their behavior looks like on our video cameras. So like I said, it's on my to-do list. It's just, we'll get there at some point. Thank you.
And on June 21st, we had an arrest, Stonehouse Road. Patrol responded to a report of several vehicles for blocking the roadway near the RMA maintenance yard. Local rancher was in the middle of the road with obvious signs of intoxication of drugs and or alcohol. And he was presenting a danger to the public. He's done this several times. We attempted to prevent him from leaving by shutting off the vehicle. However, he began to drive away. CHP responded and the sheriff's department as well. He was located and arrested. He was booked for DUI and other charges. Our patrol employee had some minor injuries from the incident to his hand. And also he was stung by a bunch of wasps during this incident. And it is the same person who has come to our gates, harassing our female employees, threatening us, going to Bel Air, putting his truck, stopping his truck and his car in front of the Bel Air doors and telling employees there to basically F off, call the police on me and see what happens and things like that. So he was finally arrested.
So what you're saying is we have a trend with this individual?
Yes. In fact, a couple years ago, he actually fired shots at the power lines, and that caused sparks and a big, huge fire over there on Latrobe Road, which burned quite a few acres over there. So, yeah, he has a serious problem. And he's been arrested several times. When I talked to the watch commander for South County Sheriff's Department, he knew right away who exactly it was. He named the individual and said, oh, yeah, we arrest him all the time. And, you know, he gets released from jail and things like that. So can only hold him for so long. Anyway, June 23rd to 24th is our fire hydrant collision, the accident that occurred with the water treatment plant that everybody's aware of. As you can see, the total loss and replacement is 4.8 million gallons of treated water. Yeah, almost 5 million gallons. And I already gave you the update as to what we're doing with that. And we'll keep everybody, the board and the GM and everybody else, updated on any information we get on our daily activities with this. June 24th through 25th, somewhere in that time frame, there was another golf cart theft. And this was at the country club. A resident reported rumors of a golf cart theft, so we contacted them and found that two golf carts were stolen, but they were actually recovered by the staff, one in the bushes and the other one in the RMA maintenance pond. Thank God it wasn't in our lakes. Point of entry was through a hole that was cut in the fence. We were not notified of the incident when it occurred, and neither was the sheriff's department. They did not necessarily want to make a report in regards to that.
Tina, point of clarification, was it taken out of their cart barn after hours?
It apparently was after hours, but if there's a fenced area, the two golf carts were in there, so I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and then in regards to the question from Crystal, here is the patrol coverage. So I have listed all the dates in regards to no coverage in the hours. Typically you can see it's graveyard hours. There's a couple days where there was no coverage on day shift and swing shift. A lot of them are due to family emergencies and call outs for being sick, but at the same time, contract security would usually cover for us, and we didn't have any coverage for that when we requested assistance with that. And then other times it was no coverage at all. So we did the best we could to cover for the contract security calling off as well.
The unfortunate thing, Tina, is I won't say it's common, but it's more common than not when a contracting firm as such as this, when they don't get the next RFP bid, they start doing these things. So it's obviously predictable. You know, again, it's shame on them, but it is what it is. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
And then next is the full list.
All right, next is the full listing of the case narratives. So there's quite a few pages of that.
And then I do have one question, if I may, Tim.
Yes, please go ahead.
Crystal Matter, why was no police report made or taken about the golf cart theft? CSD can make a report on its own online, right?
No, that is, the victim is the country club, so they would have to file the police report, not us. And they just didn't want to. That's the only information I have on that.
Recording.
Any other questions before we go to the...
No, go ahead and move on, unless you have hands or something, Amelia.
No hands.
All right.
Chat.
Continue on, Tina, please.
All right. Next on the agenda is the security supervisor recruitment update. Position was reposted and 69 applications were received. 12 possible applications and resumes were reviewed. However, I only found one qualified applicant. So I'll be calling him today and see if he is interested in the position and when he's available for an interview. And the security service opinion survey update, we did have the town hall meeting with the community at the Country Club Ballroom on June 22nd from 6 to 8. It actually ended right around 7:30 p.m. We had an okay turnout of a little over 75 people, and we did get some positive feedback. We had some good questions as well. So the next step is setting up the groups, and I believe the applications or the request to be on the groups is July 3rd,
July 9th is the date that those are due back to me. And that is posted on the website if for folks that want to apply for it. And it is at the front desk. And I believe we took some sign-up sheets out to RMA in the village, but I'll have some sent out there if we haven't already.
Yes. So we will turn those over to the contractor to review and start the selection of the members of the working groups after that date.
And I think I have about 20 so far. So I need more folks to sign up.
Yeah, we need 10 people per group.
And there were five groups.
For five groups.
And then the commitment is one meeting of 2 hours, I believe. Is that right, Tim? Do you remember?
That sounds about right. And again, I think because it was, I disagree with Tina, it was a poor turnout. But again, that does say certain things about the level of service of security and the comfort zone of people in the community. The 20 is very disappointing. So I'm sure the contracting consultant will end up modifying some of the process to make it to where we can get where we need to get, so we can make a educated decision at the board level, whether we pursue this or not. So.
Okay.
No questions, no comments on that.
Perfect. That takes us to item number 6.
All right. Security replacement vehicles. We are looking at vehicles that's within our budget and within the district needs for new vehicles for security. I would like to have 2 in regards to what we're budgeted for. We'll see what we can find. I personally am looking at the Ford Explorers and other similar options. However, these vehicles are pricey, even at used car prices. So we're still researching that. We've been focusing more on the town hall meeting and supervisor recruitment, but we'll get on that now. I did have
I think some of that will fall obviously to finance. Off the top of my head, I don't remember what the reserve allocation for vehicles were. I know that the current vehicles that we're still paying on have not performed to the level when they purchased them years ago, thought. We just end up putting a lot of miles that are almost city driving, if you will, on these vehicles. So maybe our thought process, like you said, really has to change on what are we attempting to do? What are we looking for? From that standpoint, I know it's been discussed, but it's been at least a couple years, and staff then really had no idea what they wanted to do. They were just saying that the current vehicles, from a mechanical standpoint, just don't fill the needs.
No, and they don't fill the needs, and they keep breaking down the 2 Jeeps that we have, the 2 Jeep Patriots.
Right, so we might end up moving sooner than later from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And I'll follow up with the GM on that, because I know we've had some discussion, and I don't think security should be any different than really what our fleet maintenance is. And we just need to, like we do with the other fleet vehicles, identify what the needs are and then develop that standard. And then we just move forward from that standpoint. So Amelia, any hands or chats or anything?
No hands, no chats.
Okay. It takes me to item number 7. Tina, any thoughts or any other comments from staff members?
No, I don't have anything else at this time.
Okay.
Other than our security staff, Rick, and the gate officers and other patrol officers are working diligently to try to locate that vehicle that hit the fire hydrant. We're doing everything we can.
No, very good. And that's understandable. I would like to also reiterate a lot of staff work has gone into getting the new contracting security service up and running. So Tina, thank you for that. I know Rick has been involved in some of the training. I think 4th of July will give us a good feel for how they're going to perform and what those expectations are. So with that, I would just like to wish everybody a happy and safe and sane 4th of July. Tina, I'm going to contact you on a couple issues offline. But unless you have any hands or any questions, Amelia, I'm going to adjourn the meeting.
No hands, no questions.
All right. Amelia, as always, thank you. Tina, I appreciate your time. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.